I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Have you ever been lost? Ever remember as a little kid being in the grocery store and all of a sudden you looked up and mom wasn't there? You'd gotten distracted with something? As an adult, driving in the rain at night, you took a long, wrong turn, and all of a sudden, none of the road signs looked familiar. We've all heard or read about people who've been lost at sea, might have spent weeks or maybe even months adrift in the ocean, lost, hoping to be found. Mushroom hunters, people hiking in the mountains, get distracted with things. The next thing they know, they're off the trail, and every tree looks the same. All those have something in common. When they are found, they're joyous. The book of Luke contains three parables. And all three of those parables have something to do with something that's lost. Verses 8 and 9 of chapter 15. Jesus is speaking. But what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the piece which I lost." In the same chapter, there's the parable of the lost son. It's oftentimes called the parable of the prodigal son, referring to his behavior. Of course, we know that one of the two brothers wanted his inheritance and he wanted it now. He couldn't wait. He had big ideas. So he took it and he left. Of course, we know that he went and he squandered it. After he'd squandered it, he found himself left with nothing. He was broke. He was starving. He was in a foreign land. He was lost, and he was alone. But we know that he did decide that maybe he could go back humbly to his father. And he did, and when he returned, his overjoyed father accepted him back and rejoiced. And remember that the father told the other son, "Your brother was dead and is alive again, is lost and he is found." In the same chapter, we have the parable of the lost sheep. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees have kind of wondered about Jesus because he's hanging out with sinners and tax collectors. In verse 4, we read, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 persons who need no repentance." We have all been lost. We've all been dead in our transgressions. We, by faith and obedience, have become part of the flock of the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for his sheep. What makes this Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, different from anyone else who proclaims to be a shepherd? I'm going to read again a little bit of what Kevin read earlier this morning. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because the hired one does not care about the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and have known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." What makes the shepherd different? He's laid down his life. He's laid down his life for the flock. No one takes his life from him. He lays it down for us. And he has the power to take it up again. He willingly did that for the flock. 1 Peter 2, 22 through 25. "For this you were called, because Jesus Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his footsteps. He committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. But when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but only now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." It was by his stripes that we are healed. Lost sheep returned to the overseer of our souls. He, the Good Shepherd, is what this memorial is about this morning. This memorial is about him. What he did for us that we could never do for ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us. Let us pray. Our only Heavenly Father, We thank you for your Son, the Good Shepherd, who is willing to die in our place. Who took our trespasses and took them to the cross. He suffered for us, even though he was sinless. He did something that we could not do for ourselves. Help us to remember that body that hung on the cross as we partake of this representation of his body. This bread, as he instructed his disciples the night before he was crucified. Bless this bread and accept our love and our thanksgiving for your Son. In his dear name we pray. Amen. The cup, fruit of the vine, represents the blood that was shed for us. Without his blood, there is no sacrifice for us. Brother John, would you give thanks for the cup, fruit of the vine?
Father God, we thank you so much for allowing us to be this morning. We took the bread this morning that represented the body of Jesus. We're getting ready to take the cup that represents the blood of Jesus. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember the blood that was shed before the cross, the crown of thorns, the beatings, the stoning, everything that Jesus went through. When Jesus went to the cross, his hands and his feet being nailed to the cross, the blood coming from that. Remember when Jesus was on the cross, when he died, and he was stabbed with a spear, the blood come out from his stomach. The blood represents freedom. It represents love. It represents sacrifice. It represents eternal life. Jesus gave us his all. Jesus says, do this and remember to me. Remember me being on the cross. Remember the forgiveness of your sins. Remember the love that he has for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
It's been good to share this memorial service, remembering our Savior, with all of you this morning. A few years ago, I worked with some folks at it's kind of an end-of-life place where people went, nursing facility. It really wasn't people who were going to go back to their regular home from there. We had a service for them, and there was a message that was provided for them, and we handed out sheet music, and it was always very inspirational to me to hear these older people sing their favorite song, and the song that they always wanted to sing was Showers of Blessing. And it just meant something to me that people in their aging years would acknowledge, remember, and care about the many, many blessings that we have in this life. This is a true gift, to be alive, to be able to have friends, be able to have relatives, able to have people to share our lives with, people to share the Word of God with too. We have truly been blessed. Members of our congregation are aware that there's a box in the back of the auditorium. They can put a contribution in. We're commanded to purpose in our heart a free will offering for the saints and the lay-by in store. There's no amount that's too large, and there's no amount that's too small. It is given with love and joy for our abundance of our blessings. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Brother Calvin, would you give a prayer of thanks for our abundance?
Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, your Son, who gave his life for our sins. He was and is the Good Shepherd. We're thankful as we commemorate his death that you have given us this freedom to assemble today. Many places in the world do not have this freedom. Help us never to take that for granted. Help us to have just some understanding of all of the blessings that you have given unto us. More than we can count, more than we can comprehend, more than our worth, that Jesus died for us. And so at this time, as we consider the gift that you so generously have given to us, help us to consider our gift to you monetarily this morning, knowing that our life is to be lived as a sacrifice for you. And so this is a part of that life that we live for you and through your Son, Jesus. We ask your blessing upon this gift this morning, that it will be used to further the work of the church, to let the light shine brighter in our community and help those who are in need. We're thankful for the opportunity. We're thankful for the ability that you have given to us to be able to make this contribution this morning. We give you all praise and all glory through the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.